I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey, Imam Dr. Murad Muhammad is en route, so I'm going to pull in for him until he can get to the studio. New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Waraquddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks, and you'll be able to listen to the one that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue. Also, destination, your own thought of self. One second. Be patient. I'm opening up for Imam. So in the better days, government tried to satisfy trouble spots with money. Now there is not enough money to satisfy trouble spots. So government leaders are desperate. What can we do? We don't have enough money to quiet the dangerous element. We can't buy these people away from the self-destruction. How can we manage our lives? They are desperate. How long do you think things can stay this way? Sometimes I think the people behind bars, the people that are serving time in jail, are better off than we are because they at least have an opportunity to get away from destructive and get their minds together again. We are out of here in the forces of destruction. You may say, Chief Imam, what is destroying us? One second. I'm experiencing some difficulties. I'll be right back in a moment. So you might say, TP man, what is destroying us? The way you think. Those are the forces of destruction. Your thoughts, it began with you thought that you were born in sin. It got worse when you thought you were born free. We have to get the life back together. Who is there? Is there a way? Certainly there is a way. How come we are not able to do anything about our life? It's because we have never been given anything to work with. Say you'll know how we have survived. Well, how have we survived? We have survived. How have we become the greatest nation on the earth? The charge, the powerful charge, anything that gets a charge has to be recharged. And when you run out of the recharge, you'll finish. Pretty soon it's just like shooting Black Flag road spray on bed bugs or roaches. After a while, they don't feel it. You are spraying and you wonder how come those things are falling. They have gotten used to it. We have recharged ourselves so many times until it doesn't affect us anymore. We have gotten used to it, and the things have gotten worse, and you don't see the charge producing results. Why? Because the charge has lost its effect. Believe me, the charge has lost its effect because there was a diabolical, wicked mind planning the downfall of America, of American people. Not my downfall, not the African-American downfall, not the Muslim downfall, our downfall. I don't know if I was introduced properly or not, but I say some outrageous things, and I hope they will outrage you, because that's what you need to be, outraged. God, public, disrespect for God. Respect for God has been declining. In America, respect for God has declined so much. In America, now that to say God is to make people leave you. You want to have people walk out away from you? Just start acting like you really believe in God. I don't have time for that man. He's wasting my time. Or he's offending me. Look, they compete with each other to see who is the boldest of playing lightly over the respect for God. Don't you watch the TV shows? Don't you see how lightly they play with God on television? How lightly they play with God in the cartoons of the newspaper? How can we keep our life together if the media is going to play lightly with God? The Christian home should be protected first by God. Are you a Christian or what are you? If you are a Christian, shouldn't your home be protected first by God? And the next authority under God should be God's words. Whenever you lose the fear of God, you should pick up God's word, and children should respect God's words. Husbands should respect God's words. But is that the American Christian life? No. You've lost the fear and respect for Almighty God. Still, they claim to be Christians. If we invite you to El-Islam, you say, I can't come. I'm a Christian. That's not the reason you can't come. It's because you are a nobody and you don't want to be somebody. So everybody wants to go back now to nature, saying, let's go back to nature. Get me to nature. Hey, baby, what you got there? Oh, I got a Butterfinger. You eat that mess? I don't eat that mess. Go down and get you a sesame seed candy bar. That Butterfinger will kill you, man. Hey, baby, you got any snort? Now, this is the same one who won't eat the Butterfinger, but he wants a snort of cocaine. Pitiful people. Sin now is more widespread. There's some difficulties. We will be right back with you. Read them before, heedless, reckless living is more widespread now than ever before. American public have a death wish. The psychiatrists are describing the personality of the problem in the personality of the American people as a death wish, that American people are troubled with the death wish. They are really wishing for death. They want to die. Suicide, a form of crucify. Family control, children. Why do you want to die? Because something has been planted in your subconscious. You know that when there is no other way out, you've done all you could to handle the situation sensibly, that you should follow God, the last thing to do is crucify yourself. So you have reasons. You've tried to live a life of sense, and it hasn't brought you happiness. So you say, well, the next thing to do is kill ourselves, give up, commit suicide. So when you don't check your child that you see is about to give his life to crime, who's tearing down your home, who's making problems for you, that are going to take you into court and make you pay money out of your pocket that you can't afford because your living standards are at the bottom. When you let your child bring you down financially, morally, don't you know there is a suicide wish in you? The death wish is in you. You've given up on life. A man who hasn't given up on life, if he sees his child tearing the property down, putting himself in position to be arrested and taken to court, that man snatches his child back from that danger, saying, come here, son, I can't let you go that way. So mama used to look for her child. Now the child looks for the missing mama. I remember as a child hearing the mother when the sun started to go down and it began to get dark a little bit outside. Many times the street light hasn't come on. And it was just normal thing to hear a voice calling out. Sometimes we could hear a voice from the other block saying, Johnny, Lisa. That was mama who cared about her children. Now, isn't Johnny? Now it's Johnny and Lisa calling mama, mama. Mama is out somewhere and they don't know where she is. It's getting dark. And they don't know where their protection is coming from. We have to get the lights back. The only answer for us is to get an intelligent grip on our life. People can't live by emotions. People can't live by sentimental charges. People have to live by the light and the light of sense, the light of reason, the light of intelligent light. That's the only way you can live. Masses addresses a child elect spoken to as an adult. The only way it is to live by a charge is that not living, that's dreaming, daydreaming, and night dreaming. It's dreaming. Church leadership, mosque leadership, synagogue leadership all have been feeding the people pacifiers and holding the precious knowledge back, fearing that if the masses get the precious knowledge, the priest, the rabbi, and the imam will lose his precious position. America has to come to speak one language, the only way out. As long as America speaks to the general public with the tongue of children and speak to the select few with the tongue of an adult, everything will continue to go down, 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 weaken and fall apart. College teachers, let's solve problems, rational, false religion says solve it with mysticism. Society's problem symbolism is in religion. So the answer is this. America must put down storytelling. We must stop telling stories to grown-ups. The first story we told grown-ups are the story in religion. The only way to solve this problem is to make the clear truth known in the public. So we have to free the people from the monopoly that symbolism and ignorance have had on the minds of the masses for thousands of years. Scriptures tell us, both Holy Quran and the Bible tells us, that the real problem of the world is darkness, and not the physical darkness, but the darkness of ignorance, the darkness of the absence of knowledge. People have never been given knowledge. They have been given excuses. They have been given stories. They have had their senses divided. You go to school and they teach you tackle a physical problem with rational sense. They teach you to tackle physical problems and problems of a physical nature with rational sense. But you leave the school and you go home, or you go to the church and they teach you to tackle human problems with mysticism, fairy tale. So this is the real problem. We have to go to the next, pardon me, to the textbook, and we have to tell the children in their early grades and elementary grade, middle school and high school, they all have to be taught the simple truth about human life. Human beings must be given the knowledge that enables the individual to operate his own life in the light and not in the dark. Instead of telling people that we all descended from one individual called Adam, who was made from clay, model formed out of the earth, and breath was breathed into that clay model, and clay model started walking and living as a human being. Instead of telling them that fairy tale, let's tell them the truth that their fairy tale hides. The fairy tale is the cloak covering up a real religious preaching. They are not teaching truth. Immaculate Conception is the will of man to submit to God. Immaculate Conception Jesus created from women. The Holy Quran says that God didn't reveal that it should be hid. He revealed it that it should be given openly and clearly. So we have to stop it telling people that man is born in sin. We have to separate the allegorical from the real in the Bible and let the people know that the Immaculate Conception is not the flesh-born body. The thing that is immaculate is the will in the individual to submit to the will of God. That is the Immaculate Conception. That a human being is born on this earth with an ability to submit his whole life, his whole will, his energy, his physical drive, even his sex drive. He is willing to submit it to God and say, God, I will use my sex as you instruct me to. I will use my physical power, my mental power, my energies of my mind, and my soul as you instruct me to. Immaculate Conception. Sex is to reproduce the higher life. Sex is to produce the higher self. Flesh has been used as something to speak through, to say something to people. Long ago, people lost the truth that the thing that is being spoken to, it is the idol embodied in the thing and not the thing. To pre-create or to spread our bodies on this earth, we have to mate with the female, and the male has to give something of himself, his vital life, to the female. The female has to receive it, cherish it, He has to be loyal and devoted. If he doesn't cherish it, respect it, and value it, she might abort it. Or she might live in a reckless way and cause it to be aborted, or cause it to grow up with defects. But if the male and the female respect the life, the life has protection. So the great masses is spoken through the female and the male. The female and male is not the message. The message has to be interpreted out of the male and the female. Sex, man, impregnates society with ideas. A man, when he gives of his mind, his soul, when he gives his finest principle, offer his finest sentiment to a people to help them, isn't he planting his most precious seed in the womb of the society? If the society cherishes that precious gift from the leader, they will become impregnated with that precious seed and his fine principle, his fine concerns will grow in the hearts and the mind and the interior of the society, and they will become impregnated with the light that was in his loins, and that life will grow and multiply on the earth. Is that right? So that's the Immaculate Conception. Society formed of mind, not flesh. It doesn't have to touch flesh to produce itself. Society is formed of one mind. If that mind gives itself to God, two people are formed in the right image until that leadership fails or turns away from God. When that happens, then that right image is not there anymore. The people become the children of the bad image. They become the image of that bad image. The Quran, Surah 67, Ayat 1, Allah can hold creation. Al Hadith, page 307 and 100. Allah's hand on group. So God is so big, he contains all of the creation in his one hand. So this is Quran. Say all of the creation, that means stars, earth, moon, sun, whatever is beyond that heavenly body, beyond that says he holds it all in his one hand. Now you know God doesn't look like that, like this. In Arabic, hand means control, means God holds all of them in his one control. He has many controls, but he holds all of the heaven and the earth in just one control. And really, hands mean for us control too. So I'm gonna handle you if you don't handle yourself. Handle you if you don't handle yourself. So it means control in our language too. Allah hand Quran created man, Prophet Hajj. The Quran, Surah 67, Ayat 1, Allah hand whole creation. The Quran, Surah 55, Ayat 1 to 4, Allah taught the Quran. The Quran, Surah 5, Ayat 3, Islam perfected religion. Khalifa, the male is not that by himself. He must have male and sensitivity. Then Adam comes, and then the woman comes, distant from the other. But originally, the word means both, male and female. So whatever the Khalifa is, the man is not that by himself. Khalifa is male and female. So whatever Khalifa means, that means it is not that by himself. It takes the woman with him, so he has to become that nest in Wahida, again, before he qualified to be Khalifa. So it takes the woman with him. So you have to have the two operating, then he's the Khalifa. You say, how are you going to get a woman back into the man? He has to be born again. or has to be created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the sensitivity that a woman has. He has to have both the male sensitivity and the woman's sensitivity if he is to be the best, the type ruler that God wants for us on this earth. So African Americans are a new creation of God. The life, the bad experience of slavery as it began down in the South on the plantation is really the beginning of our history as a people in this part of the world, or in the world, because actually what has been created, some of us are actually represent a new human creation or a new social creation. And I would think that that is the strong minority that we have of free thinkers. Recently, an unpopular African-American, the conservative, who sat on the Supreme Court as judge, the Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. He was the keynote speaker in Chicago, and he made this statement. It was published in the paper the next day. He said that he invites blacks to become free thinkers. Now, that's no new invitation. Du Bois said, to the extent that we will go to teach the children to think will be the measure of our freedom. So what is he saying? That we will expand the measure of our freedom. We can have more freedom the more we think independently, or the more we think on our own and pass it down to the next generation. Think on your own. Think on your own. I never told Muslim Journal to put that statement in the paper that they keep in there now on the educational page or academic page, the school page. The statement ends with me saying, I will never give up the pleasure of the dignity that I have of thinking for myself. I will never give that up. I'm going to always think for myself. So I thought there had been about three of them in there now. So one of them was actually taken from the Prophet himself, his own saying. So when the Muslims or believers endeavor to do anything, whether it is to draw a picture or sell some goods to the market or on the market or get a good school score in school as a student or clean up the house, whatever the men say, the Muslim, the believer, whenever he endeavors to do anything, seeks to perfect it. He seeks to perfect it. The hand of Allah is on the group and hold the whole universe in one hand. So that tells me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whatever the message, prayers, and the peace be upon him offers you, accept it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it obligatory, made it an obligation on me, that when the Prophet, prayers, and the peace be upon him say something, I accept it without questioning it, without doubting it. So the Prophet, prayers, and the peace be upon him himself has obligated us to accept responsibility, to be responsible. There is a saying, the hand of God is on the group, meaning the collective body. Juma means the collective body. So if we say bring the people together, put them together, or collect them things together, we say ijma. So Juma means after the thing has been made into one branch or into one collection, put them all together. So the hand of Allah is on the group. What does the hand mean? Allah speaks of himself as having two hands, just like we have two hands. Yadaha is two hands. Are we left to really wonder or guess at what these two hands mean? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, just in one hand alone, he holds the whole universe, all creation. Then he asked Iblis to follow the fallen angel in Western theology, Christian theology. What is the matter with you that you refuse to bow or make sujood to this man that I have made with my two hands, he said. My two hands. Two hands for creating and teaching man. So we know now what the two means. The studious thinker right away comes to the conclusion, and he now knows what the hands are. The one hand is the hand of the creation. The other hand is the hand of teaching. Allah's hand, one, teaches man, two, create a universe. So with one hand, he teaches man himself. God himself teaches man. With the other hand, he created the whole world that he had to later teach man about. So what are the hands? Look in the English language to understand what hands mean. First, look at the word handicap. What happens means, first look at the word. Handicap means that he is impaired. His ability is seriously hurt. So his natural ability is impaired or seriously hurt. Look at the word handle. Can you handle this affair? Meaning, do you have the ability to take charge of this affair? So hand, even in English, must have a meaning originally in responsibility for the ability to manage, right? The ability to manage. And if you have the ability to manage, then you can accept the responsibility for that particular thing. So if you have the ability to manage, can you manage driving a car? Okay. I'll give you a license. If you can manage driving a car, they will give you a license. Can you handle it? So that is the word I want. Handle. Most of the things that we have a handle on, the handle is its main control, isn't it? So the handle is its main control. So we can come to the conclusion that hand means control. The control, the entity that represents the control is the hand. Now God is saying that he has in his control the whole creation that he made. Isn't that where it is supposed to be? Yes. And God says, is not there for God both the creation that he made and also the authority or the command. Yes. So the Quran is the authority. The Quran, yes. So we understand then that to mean that God has two main controls in the creation and in the life of man. The natural control for the creation that he made. He has that control in our lives. Control is the control by the way of enlightenment, and he has that too. So Mother Earth turned man to God. So I'm a witness as a student now for about 50 years, a serious student in studying the Word of God, studying the way of the world. I am a witness that man has no great achievement whatsoever, that he doesn't owe to reveal knowledge. Without revealed knowledge, he would still be drinking out of a skull, chasing women and beating them over the head with a stick, with a tree limb and stuff to get his pleasures. But he has been civilized, and the first to be civilized was the one that God guided, who turned back to his God by way of study or researching the creation itself. So man turns to the creation that bore him as his mother, so to speak, and he questions his mother, And his mother points him to his father, symbolically speaking, metaphorically speaking, God Almighty. So this is how it happens. Don't think that it is correct for a Muslim to use that kind of language. It is not. I used it. I said metaphorically speaking. And I am going to clear up the mess by telling you it is forbidden for us to use that kind of language. In Al-Islam, there is no metaphor for God. But since the Christian's world has that kind of language, it was easy for me to make my point with it to you, a Western product. So I used it. Adam, as an incomplete creation, it was complete with Muhammad. God said he made his man with his two hands, with both hands, for both his hands. So what does this tell us about the man? That God has, as our first father, we know that he was referring to Adam, but for the scholars in Islam, especially for the blessed scholars in Islam, whose thought has been blessed by God, we know that Adam was incomplete when he was made. His completion began with the next prophet, and the next prophet, and the next prophet until the last one. With the last one, his creation is complete. The creation of Adam is complete. So the creation of Adam was not completed until Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, was created. And how did Allah create Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him? Al-Rahmanu, the merciful God, the beneficent God, or the merciful benefactor. Khalika insan alama Quran. That's first. Then Khalika insan. He revealed the Quran, taught it, and then created the person. So Muhammad created twice. So Muhammad was created twice by two hands. He was perfect in his natural creation before the revelation of the Quran came. And then God came and created him with another control, the hand of revelation. Then after he completed him, he said, Al-Rahmanu, not God the Father. The concept is not non-existent. Not God the Son or God the Holy or the Holy Ghost. These concepts are not existing. God the merciful benefactor. So you're going to separate him from the people. So he's the Khalifa. We worship him. There's a lot to be said about that, a lot to be said about that. Amir is the title, not Khalifa. So I think I've already told some of these brothers in private that it is a mistake. It is a mistake that they call their rulers the Khalifa. They should have continued to call their rulers Amirs. Because that is a title for which we have justification from the Quran and from the life of the prophet. Where is the justification in the Quran for the title Amir? God says to us, an order by what has been revealed, command order, Amir. And God says to us, order upon the principle of shura, of mutual consultation. So this is the meeting of the mind, the mature meeting of the best minds discussing the matters and coming up with a consensus, a judgment that we all respect, or we all support, pardon me, right? So that's what God says to do. So the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, says, no matter how small the task is, if it involves more than one person, choose you an amir. So from that, we can conclude that we can call ourselves Amirs, the biggest Amir, he is over all of us. The President of the United States is far from being the only president. There are a million presidents, more than that. This is in this country. So there are presidents of corporations and other things, right? So there are presidents too. But we have one president who is president of the United States, voted in by all the people. He is the president of the United States. So so we can have Amirs here and Amirs there. Amirs over the sweeping of the floor when the bakery is closed down. Who's the Amir for the sweeping the crumbs up, brother? Alhamdulillah. So you are the Amir. Take charge, brother. You are the Amir. I believe if that had been done, we wouldn't have had so much intrigue, so much undermining, so much trouble for Islam. The prophet, the perfect man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the foreseer, the all-knowing. And the foreseer, and he has a plan override all plans that may develop. His plan, as I understand it, as I perceive it, his plan was to bring more attention to this term, Khalifa, because the people were not educated enough back then to understand the term Khalifa. They were just introduced to it, but the full meaning of it had not been given to them. It took them years of study, studying the life of the prophet, and only a few of them, a select few amongst the top scientists or the top scholars of Islamic scientists came to the conclusion that the prophet is Rajulun Ta'alamun, meaning that he is the perfect man, and he is also Rajulun Ta'alamun, the complete man. He is the complete man, and complete man is the perfect man. Once God has completed his man as he intended for him to be made on this earth, then he became the perfect man. Perfect means meeting and satisfying the perfect or the desire or whatever that is perfect. So when the man has made the qualifications that were expected from him by God, then he is not only complete, but he is also perfect. The Quran, Surah 5, Ayat 3, this day have those who reject faith given up all hope of your religion. Yet fear them not, but fear me. This day have I perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and have chosen for you Islam as your religion. And the indication that Muhammad was perfect was with the proclaiming the Quran to be the complete and perfect and perfect. On this day I have revealed for you your religion and completed my favor on you. I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor on you. So this is both. He completed his favor on us, perfected it. So completion and perfection goes together. The completion is the perfection. So when it is complete, as God intended it, that is the perfection. So Muhammad, according to Lady Aisha, was the reflection of the Quran more so than that, was the living Quran walking amongst us. That's how she described him. That's how the wife described the husband. So if he is and if he has been the vessel for the last revelation of the Quran, and God has deposited the whole revelation into that vessel, because a scholarly lady, Aisha, may God be pleased with her, identified him as the embodiment of the Quran. That's what she said. They didn't speak English. They spoke Arabic. As the embodiment, he is the embodiment of the Quran. So you want to separate him from the people. So he's the Khalifa, so worship him. There is a lot to be said about that. A lot to be said about that. Amir is a title, not Khalifa. So I think I've already told some of these brothers private that it is a mistake. It is a mistake that they call their rulers the Khalifa. They should have continued to call their rulers Amirs, because that is a title for which we have justification from Quran and from the light of the prophet. Where is the justification in the Quran for the title Amir? God says to us, an order by what has been revealed, command order Amir. And God says to us, order upon the principle of shura, of mutual consultation. This is the meeting of the mind, the mature meeting of the best minds discussing the matters and coming up with a consensus, a judgment that we all support, right? So that's what God says to do. So the prophet prayers and the feast upon him said, no matter how small the task is, if it involves more than one person, choose you in a mirror. So from that we can conclude that we can call ourselves a mirror, the biggest a mirror. He is over all of us. So the president of the United States is far from being the only president. There are a million presidents, more than that. In this country, there are presidents of corporations and other kinds, right? So they are presidents too. We have the one president who is president of the United States, voted in by all the people. He is the president of the United States. So we can have Amirs here and Amirs there. Amirs over sweeping the floor when the bakery closed down. Who is the Amir for the sweeping? The crumbs up, brother. Alhamdulillah. So you are the Amir. Take charge, brother. You are the Amir. So I believe that that had been done, we wouldn't have had so much intrigue, so much undermining, so much trouble for Islam. So the prophet, the perfect man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the foreseer and the all-knowing. And the foreseer, and he has a plan to override all plans that may develop. His plan, as I understand it, as I perceive it, his plan was to bring more attention to this term Khalifa, because the people were not educated enough back then to understand the term Khalifa. They were just introduced to it, but the full meaning of it had not been given to them. It took them years of study, studying the life of the prophet, and only a few of them, a select few amongst the top scientists or the top scholars of Islamic scientists, came to the conclusion the prophet is Rajulun Alamun, meaning that he is the perfect man and he is also Rajulun Kamalun, the complete man. He is the complete man. And the complete man is the perfect man. Once God has completed the man as he intended for him to be made on this earth, then he becomes a perfect man. Perfect means meeting and satisfying the purpose of the desire or whatever that is perfect. So when the man has met the qualifications that we are expected from him by God, then he is not only complete, but he is also perfect. The Quran, Surah 5, Ayah 3, this day have those who reject the faith given up all hope of their religion. Fear them not, but fear me. This day have I perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, you and have chosen for you Islam as your religion. And the indication that Muhammad was perfect was with the proclaiming the Quran to be complete and perfect. On this day I have revealed to you your religion, completed my favor on you, have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor on you. So this is both. He completed his favor on us and perfected it. So completion and perfection goes together. The completion is the perfection. When it is complete, as God intended, it is the perfection. So Muhammad, according to Lady Aisha, was the reflection of the Quran more so than that, was the living Quran walking amongst us. That's how she described him. That's how the wife described the husband. So if he is and if he has been the vessel for the last revelation of the Quran and God has deposited the whole revelation into that vessel, called the scholarly Lady Aisha, may God be pleased with her, to identify him as the embodiment of the Quran. So that's what he said. See, they didn't speak English. They spoke Arabic. As the embodiment, she is the embodiment of the Quran. His identity, when she was asked to describe him, if his identity then is really the embodiment of the Quran walking, living amongst us, expressing itself amongst us in marvelous words and also with deeds, then if he was that and the Quran was completed and perfect, then he himself is also complete and perfect. So the scholars reason that Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, is the answer to an age-long expectation that was on the wise of the world, that man was being moved by his creator, by his shaper, to better and more complete form, that he is not finished. That is why it says, I will be what I am. I shall be what I am when I am. I'm not yet, but I shall be what I am. So who could say that with any more confidence, comfort, than Adam himself, if he knew his creation? Adam is the one who should say that. Adam should say that somebody may say, who are you, Adam? If Adam knew that he was completed to be the Khalifa, pardon me, if Adam knew that he was created to be the Khalifa and that he really was incomplete, but it was coming, Adam represents the life of the line of life that's continuous. So Muhammad is Adam in complete and perfection. Muhammad is Adam in completion and perfection. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellence Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks, Blog Talk Radio. So Muhammad is Adam in completion, perfection. So if someone says Muhammad was Adam, am I incorrect? No, I am perfectly correct. Muhammad was Adam in completion, in perfection. He is Adam. So the Adam starts with the first creation, the first act of God, to create his man. And mind you, Allah did not say to the angels, I have created a man. God never said to the angels, I have created a man. I want you to respect him. God says, I am going to create a man. I am going to create a Khalifa. If you look at the expression in the Quran, and you as a person who has studied that word and grammatical rule, for it is grammar, for in its grammar, how is it to be explained grammatically? You will know that God was saying not that I created or did I am going to create. By reason, yes, I am going to create. But actually, what God said is, I am creating. I am in the act right now of creating a Khalifa and the Ja'alun. I am making a creation. Where am I making him? In heaven, the art, in this earth. So I am making in the earth a Khalifa. So this is what God says to the angels, but it's okay to translate it, I am going to make in the earth a Khalifa. I'm not saying that we should do away with that translation. But for the teaching, you should make it clear that the verb says, I am making at this time. I'm doing this. I am making now. I am making a ruler or a Khalifa in the earth. So God spoke to Adam. Adam was the first step in that work, in that plan. Adam had in himself at that time the concept God created. And the concept at the time had all future possibilities in it, although Adam at that time had not awakened to all of these possibilities, all of the future possibilities in him. Adam, when he was made, he became father of all the generations. the father of even our leader, our prophet, the last prophet, Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. So Muhammad, the eighth, led seven prophets in prayer. So we know according to the teachings of the prophet, Adam was the first concept, and out of him was possible to have all the other concepts. According to the teachings of the prophet, it was possible to have Jesus, the Christ, peace be upon him, and it was possible to have after him Joseph, Yusuf, peace be upon them, and Idris, and the fourth, peace be upon him, and Harun, Aaron, the fifth, peace be upon him, and Musa, Moses, the sixth, peace be upon him, and Ibrahim, Abraham, the seventh, peace be upon him, and Muhammad, the completion of all of them, who led them all in prayer. Peace be upon him. He was the eighth, and he led the seventh in prayer. So prayer is the word, the Quran. So this is Islamic teaching. He led the seven in prayer. Even his father, Adam, he led his father, Adam, in prayer. He led his father, Abraham, in prayer. What is this telling us? That here is the son, the last son, in the prophetic progression, the last son to lead even his two fathers in prayer. Did he lead them in anything other than prayer? No, only in prayer. What is the prayer? The word. What is the word? The Quran. The completion and the perfection that they all were aspiring to reach. Now, here is the answer coming in the last one. And without a doubt, he saw him in the clear horizon. So he leads them in prayer to demonstrate to us by way of metaphor or that here is the line of growth complete. Here is what Adam wanted. Here is what Christ Jesus wanted. Here is what Joseph wanted, Yusuf wanted. Here is what Idris wanted. Here is what Aaron wanted. Here is what Moses wanted. Here is what Father Abraham wanted. So this is what they all wanted. They wanted the arrow to reach its target. And here it is fired out of a boat to travel along to the destination as though they are one, reconciled perfectly, hitting the target perfectly. The Quran said, and he made him on the far horizon. Pardon me. The Quran says he met him on the far horizon. It was a long way from Adam's day, a far horizon. But that spirit finally got there, and the job was complete and perfect, yes. So this is the way we should understand it. Christianity, no threat. What is their justification for withholding this knowledge from the masses? They are masses. They are slave masters. Intentionally or unintentionally, they are slave masters. So this is the common knowledge that will protect us and allow us to grow in strength and in quality, numbers. And quality, so this is knowledge we need, if would, give their following, I'm speaking of the Muslim world, what I give you. They wouldn't have to worry about Christians coming amongst them converting Muslims. There would be no threat from Christianity. How can they be a threat from a lower plane to a higher plane? God has been raising this up for lower planes to higher planes. And we claim that Abraham and us sat on the highest plane. And how can there be any from our zone, from the zone beneath us? So this is not to speak, show disrespect, or to speak in a disrespectful way of Christianity and Judaism. No, it is not at all. But it is simply to say that if they all they have, if that's all they have, is what was written for them, we don't have anything to worry about. Now, God has progressed his thinking and enabled them to extract from what has been revealed to their prophets of old and see the highest as it should be seen in its completion and still don't have anything threatening from them. We should make them our allies. We should become allies because we have been blessed by God, all of us, to come to the promised land. Now, the purpose in me dwelling on the concept of this idea of Khalifa like this all this long time is because I believe that in our strongest starting point, when we want to understand what is my existence, what is this thing here I call me, my flesh, my body, little baby, so they can teach us something. We say, oh, I'm going to take a bath. Listen to the little baby. Sometimes there is a little alert baby in the house, or young child in the house, and you say, bath. And the baby will say, my body. Do I have to wash my body? Body, that's what you are. You are a body. And conscious is in the body, consciousness. Talking about Khalifa, so we have dwelled on this term all of this time to establish that the starting point for us, understanding what we are and where we should be going as Khalifa. It gives us the completion of the complete picture that should be the motivation in our life for every interest that we have, for every area of field of interest. Khalifa should be the thing that generates confidence, hope in us. What can we not accomplish if we believe ourselves to be the Khalifa? If we are believing in God as Muslims, God has made everything to give its service to his Khalifa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he has made everything in the sky. That means the universe or the external world. He has made everything in the sky, the skies. He said, skies, plural, somewhere, everything in the skies. And the world, the Quran says, he made it to give its service to his Khalifa. And he put Khalifa into the plural, meaning there would be Khalifas, many all over the world. And they will be generations of after generations. They will continue just like the generation of man. In fact, the Khalifa is the real line of the generation of man, real line of generation of man. He said that he has made us Khalifa or Khalifas in the earth. Then if we understand that and we see that our starting point is Khalifa, something that is not finished. The finish line for the Khalifa is Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. And with him, all of us, if we follow his revelation, his pattern, his suwah, his uswa, his pattern, who can motivate us better than God? Starting point is that point as long as we perceive or see ourselves and our ability and our creative ability, our inherent or creative ability, as long as we see ourselves, native ability, all referring to the same. As Khalifa, then we don't need anybody to motivate us. Who can motivate us better than God? Allah is the best to motivate. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey, filling in for Imam Dr. Murad Muhammad. I will be on this radio tomorrow at 7 p.m., Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m., inshallah, it only means if it please God. Those are my 2 days, and we will continue this where we left off right here. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LL Speaks, pardon me, LLC, and Imam Dr. Murad Muhammad for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. We wasn't prepared really to go on this evening, and all the mistakes that was made, I own up to that, and not our great leader, Imam Wallace D. Muhammad. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And thank you for listening.